The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD entitled Rain and Sun. Also, we'll look at the forgiveness factor. I'm going to cover with you my most embarrassing moment, but I'll never acknowledge it. I'll just share it with you. And we're going to close with Juan Williams' whoops moment.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I'm wearing my Superman shirt, so I'm really thinking prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, I know that your finger can have a little bit of pain at the tip of it, but nonetheless, you can still dial 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic, of course, is open for conversation, and you're welcome to share a praise report and get prayer. It's up to you. And we just want you to keep in mind one really particular thing about this radio show. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience right here. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Wait. Pamela Melchiano, Pamela Melchiano, our second sponsor, has officially signed up with us. She is a wonderful real estate agent. Guess what the title of her real estate company is? You wouldn't guess in a trazillion, gazillion, bazillion, tazillion years for the website. Now, she's from the Realty One Group, right? Pamela Melchiano. And I'm just going to tell you right now, her website, blessed.realty.com. Yeah. How's that? We haven't even started anything. I just want to make sure she knows we got her covered. You know, we're going to work with her and get stuff taken care of. If you want to reach out to her just to talk to her and say, why are you doing this? 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541, commercials soon to come. And then Pamela, she's going to be on the show for interviews. So it's going to be cool. Oh, by the way, I should probably warn Julie. Yeah, next week we have three interviews. I don't know how we're going to do that because we haven't done those yet. But we have three, two national and one local interview.
It's okay. It's just radio.
Wow, I feel much better. I just got off the freeway. I feel much better. Don't forget our other fantastic sponsor, our good friend John.
Big John. Big John.
From the Blessed Roofing Company. Okay, very simple. 469 Blessed. You know, he taught me something I didn't even realize. So 469 Blessed, you might not be aware of this, but if you've had hail damage, if you've had a roof that's been under hail, there is a large chance. How large? Enormous chance. How enormous? Unbelievably big chance that you could have some damage. Well, he works with people so that they're not coming out of pocket so that they can get their roofs replaced. But he gave me a lesson the other day about how there's, I'm not going to get into it too deep, but some people kind of coordinate it, and it's like a little bit of insurance-y, fraud-y kind of thing. And he's like, man, we are right specific careful to make sure everything is done exactly to the letter. We don't let anything get messed up. We're very diligent. We make sure that people get everything that they say we're gonna get them. We get them. Not only do they do free inspections, not only do they do commercial roofs, but they do this the replacement through the insurance company that ends up not costing people any money, and they do every single bit. They don't leave anything out. 469 Blessed, the roofing company dot the blessed roofing company .com is the URL. It's a long URL. He likes it. It is long, John. I can't help it. The blessed roofing company .com. That's the URL. Or 469 Blessed. There you go. Now, all we need is 10 more blessed whatevers. We're working with a mortgage company, a faith mortgage company. We're working with a ministry, and we're going to be working with another financial institution that does investments. So we're just moving it along piece by piece. We're having a good time, and I hope you're having a good time. Big shout out to Johnny. I had a meeting today with a gentleman. And we met at Starbucks, and man, it was cool. He was sharing his. I shared a little bit about my testimony. You know, at Starbucks, if you meet for an hour and you share, and yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the coffee, so I didn't have any. But I was there. I did buy a croissant once for $3. But anyway, we'll deal with that some other time. That's a whole segment. But we were sharing. I shared a little bit of my testimony. 40 years in like 15 minutes, you know. But he was sharing his testimony. Amazing. So we're going to put him on the air. He is getting ready to launch. Well, let me rephrase it. He's getting ready to step into to attempt to do full-time ministry. And I've been involved in that like multiple times. So we want to be a blessing for that and help him out. That's kind of a cool thing. Plus, I got two other interviews confirmed from some national people. I'm not telling you who.
That's nice of me.
I'm not telling you who yet. Facebook, David Spoon Media. I've decided to switch around my order of things. We're going to do the Juan Williams thing first. We'll do the most embarrassing thing after that. So I put up a video. For those that don't know, I do videos from time to time. Probably do 3 or 4 a week. And on my videos, I comment on the political structure, the things that are going on, the New Green Deal, the Green New Deal, or whatever it is you want to call it. I don't mind. The wall. We talk about racism. We talk about Donald Trump. If you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat, we talk about all these different elements. Because from my point of view, I understand that people have different political leanings. Now, in this station and this group and this audience, it's much more Republican conservative. It's not, you know, it's not complex. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But that doesn't mean that everybody who doesn't lean that way is a horrible human being. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But my challenge to everybody is before you are left or right, you be top center. Because the kingdom of God comes first. All right? That's an important element. That said, you can't miss Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, where it says, the heart of the wise inclined to the right, and that of fools to the left. I didn't write it. It's not my fault. I didn't write that book. All right. That could be a little bit out of context, but it is funny. You know? Sheep on the right, goat on the left. I didn't write that. It's not me. I'm not the one who did that. But it is in the book. But that's not that rarely bothers me. This is the thing that drives me batty. I'm going to tell you right now. I need prayer from you guys out in the audience. You know I already need prayer. You've already heard the show more than once. You know I need prayer just in general. But this is the kind of thing that I can't let it go. I don't know what it is. And if you want to see the video I did on this, I did two videos on Juan Williams from the Fox News, The Five. I have nothing personal against Juan Williams. No axe to grind. He didn't shun me, and therefore I'm going after him. But what he did was what every other group does that nobody ever says a word about. Juan Williams got on the television, on The Five, which I happen to enjoy The Five. I think it's kind of an entertaining show, although skewed for sure, but it's fun. I think it's fun to watch from time to time. And he gets on there and he says, Well, we know that Jesus said, now anytime somebody does that, what am I going to do? Ding, ding, ding. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's some reference in Revelation. We know that Jesus spoke. And in the book of Acts, you have Jesus speaking a couple of times. So outside of these territories, this better not be something attributed to Jesus that Jesus didn't say. And what did he do? Exactly what you think he did. Jesus said. And there's the four other people on the panel just like going, I have no idea what Jesus said. Well, that's for sure. Jesus said, love the sinner, hate the sin.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Perfect. That's a perfect sound effect. Because Jesus never said that. Ah, you see, my head is popping off right now. Jude, verse 22 and 23. It's verse 22, 23, because there's only one chapter. That alludes to it. But Jesus never said that. And what the implication that he left the other four with and the audience was that, oh, Jesus loves the sinner, but doesn't like the sin. But in Juan Williams' world, won't say anything about the sin because Jesus really doesn't want to confront anybody. Or does he? So the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, if you will remember, Jesus said, he who is without sin cast the first stone in. Fantastic. And then what did he say to the woman? Go and sin no more. Somehow that part got left out. That part in John 8 escaped everybody. When Jesus came on the scene and said, repent, what do you think he was talking about? People giving critical reviews of restaurants or their sin? He said, repent. Jesus loves people, but it's true he doesn't love their sin and wants people to turn from it. But you can't say Jesus said something he didn't say. And don't give me, well, by implication, Dave. Well, by implication, you all should spend your entire lives as devout, following after the Lord, and never driving a car, eating any of their food except for what's in the Old Testament. I mean, there's many implications. By implication, by the way, you can't go to the bathroom because the Bible doesn't give you permission. It's like you got to be careful on how you say stuff like that. Here's the bottom line. Jesus does love people, and he accepts people, but doesn't let them remain in their sin. And what he didn't catch that he said, which was a classic, was actually he was calling different lifestyles sinful without saying it, and he would never say that to your face. He thinks everybody should just be the way they are and nobody should say anything to anybody. His idea was that Jesus just accepts everybody where they are and never changes a thing. Really? Have you met Jesus? Have you met him? Guess what Jesus spends a lot of his time doing? Changing you. That's what the bulk of our Christianity is. God changing us to look like Jesus. Well, guess what part of that looking like Jesus indicates? That you are not allowed to just sin at will. So ridiculous. Just losing my crackers. Okay, here we go. I'm going to take a short break and come back, and then we better get into some other kind of teaching, or I'm going to go down in flames. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Wow, what a roof. It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, what? I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Hey! Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to remind you, if you want to check out that Juan Williams YouTube, what's the word I would call it, a moment where I have a mental breakdown, just go to YouTube and type in the David Spoon Media.
Buh.
I don't know who the David Spoon Media is, but David Spoon Media. Facebook, David Spoon Media. Website, David Spoon. Gmail, David Spoon Media, Gmail. There you go. I do want to say this real quickly. I want you to just think about this. I'm going to give you the answer right away, but it's a brain teaser. Ready? Ready for this? Julie, this is something you got to be ready for because you might have the answer, but I'm not going to wait for the answer. Okay? So you ready? All right, here we go. Elijah rode his mule into town on Friday. He stayed there 3 full days, and then he left on Friday. How did he do it? Elijah rode his mule into town on Friday. Stayed there 3 full days and then left on Friday. How did he do it? Ready for the answer? You think you know?
I don't. Go.
His mule was named Friday. That's a good one, huh? Good one. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me work that off. Don't go anywhere. Okay. So many people know, I'm going to get into this thing called, in a second, rain and sun. And I was going to do the forgiveness factor, but I think I'll probably end up doing that tomorrow. Here is the thing I want to say, though, first. Because, you know, every once in a while you're doing stuff and you just get this, oh, I don't know, strong impression or whatever that you should maybe go a different direction. I don't know if anybody's ever gone through that experience or not. And you can't just use, obviously, your feelings to be led by the Holy Spirit. There has to be a sensitivity and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you don't think you're supposed to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, just throw out 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, where it says, and your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's just toss it. You don't need it since you're not using it. The other part about that is to understand that no matter what you do, everything has an authoritative line, and the authoritative line in our Bible-believing, born-again Christian world is the Bible. It is the 729,000 words in the King James. I think in that ballpark. There are 66 chapters. There's 39 the Old, 27 the New. Starts at Genesis 1:1, ends in Revelation 22:21. This is what we believe is the letter that God has given to us. Again, I had this discussion with a great new friend of mine, and he said, well, I got somebody in my congregation, and they just don't seem to understand. They keep saying, well, the Bible is this, and the Bible is this. And I just said, look, do they believe that God created the universe? He says, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, God spoke, and matter came into existence out of no matter. So he can do all that, but he can't write a book.
See,
you just follow that logical thinking. Okay, you believe that God created the universe. Yes, but he can't write a book. Well, man, okay, let me go back to this because I want to make sure we don't miss it. You believe that God created the universe. Yes, but he can't write a book. Okay, just follow me. He can't write a book. He can create the universe, but the dude can't write a book. He needs, like, publishing's clearinghouse or something. Listen how dumb that sounds. Well, there's all these different translations, and yet God's message seems to always get through. Isn't it amazing? Why? Because God can write a book. Well, it's got all these prejudices in it. Okay, so what you're saying is God can't write a book. He can create the universe, but he can't write. I'll just go back to that 1,000 times. Oh, but the man stepped on it. Okay, so what you're saying is God created the universe, but he can't write a book. You're never going to defeat that logic. Because if you believe that God actually created billions and billions of star systems, not just planets, star systems, so many star systems they've had to come up with two different times a way to rename them because our numerical capacities, it goes so far beyond our numerical capacity, we need other names. We have to come up with new mathematic names just to stay on top of it. So the being that created all of that by speaking can't write a book. Well, I know, but he used human beings. So God can't get his message across. He's poor God. He needs work. Listen to how ridiculous that sounds. In lieu of that, Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. I want to say something because I know there's some people out there that need to hear this. Ooh, is that like a spiritual gifty thing? No, it's called encouragement. That's what we usually call it. Here's what it is. There's some of you out there that there's two things that go on. One is you take a lot of stuff in that's not life speaking, and it's hurting you. If it's not speaking life or drawing you closer to the Lord or drawing you into a challenge where you grow in the Lord or helping you or speaking life into your system, then you probably should take in less. Now, if that has to do with media, that's one thing. But, you know, my wife and I, we found ourselves probably about 15 years ago watching too many television shows that involved murder. It was murder this and murder this. It's one thing to have private detective kind of stuff. But if everything is about deep, dark, evil murder, that's all you're taking into your brain. Hey, guess what that does not do? Cheer you up. It does not lift you up. Now, I'm not the legalistic guy that goes, oh, you can't watch TV. I don't think that at all. I quite the contrary. I happen to love TV. I happen to love TV that I probably shouldn't love. In fact, there will be sounds in the show that you'll hear that you'll never know what show they're from, and I do that on purpose. Why? Well, because I'm a little mashiggy too. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is if that's all you have in your diet of intake, that's not good. I mean, you got to have something to laugh at. You got to have something to smile about. You got to have some, you know, there's got to be some roses along with the black hole that you've got that's burned from the charcoal from your grill. You got to have some good stuff. Remember, before that grill got all dirty, there was some meat on there that you had, and that was really good. So there's got to be some good with that. So the reason that I say that is because it's not just what you take in, but it's what you put out. And there's a lot of people. And it's, again, it's a completely different thing to get into discussions about scripture or to have different points of view and to discuss that. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about speaking death to situations, things coming out of your mouth where somebody has hope and you crush that hope because of the words you use. Don't do that. People, I don't think people do that intentionally. Just don't do that, period. Don't speak things that are going to pop people's balloons if those balloons are not bad. Okay? If the balloon is bad and it's a bad balloon, bad balloon, bad balloon. If it's a bad, that's fine. But if you're popping somebody's dream or hope or vision, or if you're just speaking into your own life and your own situation. So husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, people that get together, people in a church, people in a business, people in any kind of situation. What's one of the main things that will take place? It's like finances is discussed, and it's another bill. And it's just like everything revolves around everything that takes away money. And it's like, if that's all you focus on, that's a problem. If you're living your life to pay your bills, that's a problem. And you think, well, how do you not do that? Well, the first thing you do is stop speaking that your entire life exists around bills. Stop saying it. It's funny because in Jeremiah chapter 1, when Jeremiah was called as a prophet, it was funny what God said to him. One of those weird things, and I am not a name it and claim it guy. I know we got name it and claim it people all over the world. I got it. But there are biblical rules that are unavoidable. So when Jeremiah was called by God, he said, God, I can't do it. I'm a kid. God said, don't say that. Like, why not? Because that doesn't help the situation. That's why. Because when you say you can't do something, you're not able to do something, you're just feeding into that. You're kind of building that up. Now, does that mean, again, that it's like a name it and claim it mentality? No, I don't. I think there is a believe it, say it theory. I can believe it by faith, and I can say it and trust God for it. And if God says no, then I was wrong, and I got to back off on it, and that's no big deal. I've asked God for 10 million things. I think I've gotten like 30, something like that. Why? But I'm still going to ask him. But I name it and I claim it. Well, then everybody gets 50 cents from the lotto. Since everybody else is doing the exact same thing. But the words that we speak should be life. They should be uplifting. You know how you can tell? I'll just wind it down here. Ready? When you speak, does the person you're speaking to, does their spirit, do they lift up? Does their countenance lift up, or is it crushed down? Remember, a bruised reed I will not break. Do you lift people up with what you say or put them down? Do they have life when they're with you or death? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Well, we got to do a better job in keep aware. Remember, two ears, one mouth. Twice as much listening as talking. But that's why my ears are big. Let's see how that works. That's what's, I guess you didn't get that. All right, I'll just let that go. Okay, folks, you're listening to the Dave Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian Station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
There's no need to fear.
Murder Bear
comes here.
When Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb, that's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son,
Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Reach the station, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. David Spoon Media, and then David Spoon Media. And you think, well, why do you do all that? Because there's an aim in it. Because I didn't want to have something like Mephibosheth and Jehoshaphat all get together with Ezekiel and Hezekiah.com. I just thought that'd be too long, so I went with David Spoon Media, and it's kind of easy to remember. That would be the other part of that. Real quickly, just to make sure everybody's staying on their toes, where did Noah strike the first nail in the ark? I haven't shared this with anybody. Where did Noah strike the first nail in the ark? Ready? 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 On the head. I'm telling you, is that bad or what? Here's the problem, folks. 10,000 of these. I have a bigger collection than you can imagine. I've been collecting these for so long, it's kind of sad. All righty, let's get into what I want to call Rain and Sun. This is our DDD. I think later on in the next segment, I will tell you the most embarrassing moment as we probably close this out. But let's make sure we get this taken care of first. Rain and sun coming out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 47. I don't know if you noticed, and I did not intend this, but my devotions happen to be in Matthew right now. And ironic that we're starting the show and Matthew's that first, I don't know about ironic, but that Matthew's that first book in the New Testament. So we're kind of going through and I'm picking different pieces out in my devotions and sharing that with you. And it's kind of cool because I'm just going to run my devotions all the way through and we'll go through that with kind of through the show mentality. So we're still talking about Matthew, still talking about the Sermon on the Mount, the one of the most read pieces of literature in all of human history. And let me say this before we get into it, because some people make fun of it and say, oh, well, you know, the Bible, you have to accept it all by faith. There's no actual, you know, documentation for the Bible. The Gilead. Oh, my goodness. I must be in Texas. The Iliad says 643 documentations that testify or copies of it. That is the second most historically verified document ever, the Iliad. Okay? 643. The number one most historically identified document with the most copies ever is the New Testament with over 20,000 copies. So when people go, oh, well, that stuff's not real, there's no evidence. There's more evidence for the New Testament than any other document times 200%. It's just amazing. So someday we'll get into that, and we'll have Josh McDowell on and talk about the real numbers, because that stuff is fun. Let's talk about rain and sun. Matthew chapter 5, and this would be verse 43 through 47. Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 47 says this: "You have heard that the law, you've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that." Ooh. That's what I love about Jesus. Comes right out in the opening of his ministry and goes, blows up the entire religious system. What a guy. First and foremost, we had discussed this before. I want to get more in depth on it. When Jesus said, you have heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So Jesus is quoting two things, and people are like, well, it doesn't say hate your enemy in the Bible. No, it doesn't. But it says it in rabbinical law. Leviticus law says to love your neighbor. Rabbinical law says to hate your enemy. What happened is there was a law, and some people have different numbers, but their numbers really is 619, but maybe more 613, could be 633. It all depends. But here's the bottom line. It's 600 plus. We got that. Well, what happened is, in order to make sure that people didn't break the law of God, they tried to put a bubble around the law of God, and that would be more of the rabbinical law. So imagine the law, or the Leviticus law, as perhaps a marble. And then what the rabbis wanted, out of good intent, by the way, to do is to protect people from breaking that law, so they put a bubble wrap around the marble. That's rabbinical law. And then what they did is the Talmud came around, and that was commentary to the rabbinical law. And so they have the marble, and then you have the bubble wrap, and then they have foam, and they put that around the bubble wrap. And the whole point is to keep people farther and farther away from breaking the actual law, the actual marble in this illustration. The problem is, as you expand this out for protection, you run into the problem of creating new laws that never existed. That really is what happened. So when Jesus said, you've heard the law say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, he's talking about the Levitical law and the rabbinical law. That's what he's talking about. So from people who say, oh, it doesn't say that in the Old Testament, it's like, you have no idea what's going on here. Just sit down, eat this Tootsie Roll, be quiet, and watch. Because that's what sometimes you got to tell people. So the Levitical law and the rabbinical law, love your neighbor. They went to the other extreme of the rabbinical and said, hey, you know, hate your enemy. Jesus said, I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, here's where we have a little bit of a political challenge, and some people are not going to like what I'm going to say. But I love you in the Lord, and I'm sure you love me, and you have to forgive me. That'll be tomorrow when we talk about forgiveness. The problem there is that when anybody in Christianity now gets wounded in the American system, our system allows for and permits people to sue. And if somebody hurts your feelings, you get to sue. That's the lawyer's favorite name of a child, sue. So the bottom line is, when you have people that are hurting you, you want to get even. There's a revenge factor. There's a get them back factor. There's anytime your side politically is losing, you want one of their own to get trapped or caught. You want victory on your side and defeat on theirs. Now, if you're a sports enthusiast, you know that's true. If you're a person who watches food shows where they sit there and they fight for whose cake is better or whose meal is better, you always pick somebody and go with that. Usually it's the dish that looks the best. That's how I do it. And here, Jesus just ruins everything for the fleshly man and says, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to pray for those who persecute you. Here's the funny part about that. He says, pray for those who persecute you. He doesn't say pray against them. This is a problem. Because when somebody takes a position that's different than yours, what do you want to do? You want to win. You want to be the winner. Okay, well, that's cool. But in the kingdom of God, you're supposed to pray for them. I did a video on Donald Trump. You got Democrats and Republicans, and the majority of the Republicans like Donald Trump, and the majority of Democrats don't like Donald Trump. If they name the name of Christ, if they're Bible-believing, born-again Christians, and yes, there are Bible-believing, born-again Christians who don't like everything that the political parties do. It is true. Regardless, we are called upon to pray for our leaders, not against them. So while you might be a person who doesn't like Nancy Pelosi at all, okay, and I understand, you're not really allowed to pray that God will open up the ground and suck her through a hole. If you want to pray that the rest of the plastic in the ocean goes in the other half of her face, I don't care. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about praying that something bad happens to leaders is not okay. You pray for people and not against people. That's not complex. That's what we're supposed to do with enemies. I'm not just talking political enemies. There's family enemies. If you don't think there's family enemies, I hearken you back to Thanksgiving dinner. Let us go back to Thanksgiving dinner. See, that's the difference, though, of course, between Jews and Gentiles is for us, every dinner is Thanksgiving dinner. And for Gentiles, Thanksgiving dinner is like a major event. For us, it's the evening. There's nothing new. Stuff gets thrown. Things get said. That's part of it. That's a joke, people. Relax. Well, it's only partly a joke. My point is that Jesus is telling us, hey, you're supposed to pray for people who are in opposition to you, who are acting as enemies. You're supposed to pray for those who are on the other side of you. You're not supposed to pray against them. You can pray, and this is something that I do pray, and I'm going to be honest about it. I pray sometimes. I'll ask the Lord, I say, well, Lord, please bless our righteous politicians and thwart the unrighteous politicians who could lead us into sin as you determine. Not as I determine, because I don't know. God knows. But I pray that all of them, I wrap it up by saying all of us, all of them will respond to you, will be yielded to you. Will become connected to you, love on you, love with you, love for you, get involved with you. I want everybody to do good. I don't want evil plans to prevail, and I don't want evil people's plans to prevail, but I don't want them to go to hell. So I want to pray for them. You got to pray for me, even the people you don't like. I got people and family I don't like. I don't live by any of them, but that's not the point. The point is I'm trying to say, you got to pray for them, not against them. I got people in my family that really don't like me. I pray for them every single day. I have not failed a day yet, nor do I intend to. All right, we come back. We're going to look at loving them. That's a tough one too, huh? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to jack in the box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now, and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I can say, I can mess that up faster. Watch. Send me the email. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Okay. Or davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, YouTube David Spoon Media. I'm talking about rain and sun, God sending rain and the sunshine on the good and the bad, on the evil and the good. It's like, wow. Says he gives his sunlight to both evil and good, sends rain to the just and the unjust. He told us that we're supposed to, hey, there's some rain. We're supposed to love our enemy, right? And so we talked about praying for people. That's step number one. The other two steps, I don't have time to go into the real depth on the one, but the second thing he says, you know, love your enemy. And it's not hate your enemy, love your enemy. It's the Levitical law and the rabbinical law that he's challenging. You pray for them. That's the first thing, right? Okay. And then it's in verse 46. He says, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? And so that becomes the big issue. People understanding that you're supposed to love your enemy. Now, here is the challenge. People misunderstand what love your enemy means. You think, well, how can they misunderstand that? Because we're Americans. Nobody understands love like we do. Love is a feeling, yeah. It's like, no. Philea love is an affectionate love. That's the one that have, you know, heard that song, Hooked on a Feeling. It's like, that's all great. That's all philea. That's got nothing to do with biblical love. What? Well, yeah, God has feelings for us, but the love that God uses with us is called what? We know what it is. It's agape love, right? Not philea. It's agape. It's not eros, is it? Nope. It's not porneia, is it? No. It's agape love. And what's the difference between love, the agape love, and philea? Philea, remember? It's the Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That's an affectionate love. That's cool. But that's not agape. Agape love is more simplified. It's in the divine sense. It is the love that God commands. It is the love of choice. It is a love that is based on a decision. Whoa, wait, what? It's when somebody does something bad and you choose to love them. Could you make a correlation? It's when your child does something bad and you still love them based on your decision. Not only your feelings, but your obligation, your commitment. And what happens is in our society, we think of love as only as this feelings. Well, if you're supposed to love me, you're supposed to accept me. That is not, those two things don't, it's not even the same thing. There can be acceptance in the process of love, but true love speaks the truth. If you love your neighbor, you make a decision to tell your neighbor, dude, you keep rejecting Jesus, you're going to hell. That's love. You're making a choice to tell them, hey, when my son was, what, well, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5, I had to say, don't touch that hot oven. That's not about feelings. That's about me instructing him and telling him the truth. Why should he not touch the hot oven? It will burn him. I'm not feeling it. I'm commanding it. Look both ways before you cross the street. That is love. Oh, no, that's militant. It's not militant. The fact that love is the decision to protect and to watch over, that's love. You think, well, no, love is just flowers and smoking weed and little tie-dye shirts and you know, everybody's wearing sandals. It's like, okay, hippie love, here's the reality check. Hippie love's not God love. That's just the reality check. When people talk about abortion and Christians, when they just throw things at those people, that's not. But when they tell people, man, you're killing people. You're killing babies. You're killing life. That's an act of love. And now, people can abuse that. Don't misunderstand. But the decision is what agape is based on. It's not a feeling. It's a call. It's a decision. And you got to be careful. You might, you know, you ever heard that feeling? You ever heard the expression for marriage? Oh, it's they fell in love and now they're married. What is it that people say? What is the most common thing said about marriage? Can you think of it? After people been together for a little while, what's the most common thing? Well, the honeymoon is over, right? Wait. Here's a great line. It's not the same. Well, since every cell in your body regenerates every 7 years, after 7 years of marriage, both of you are completely different. So, yeah. Yes. Correct. But love makes the decision to stand in there. Now, have we failed in that? A trillion times, I think. But does that change that we need to be loving? No, you love them. And it even says, verse 47, and if you're only kind to those who are your friends, how are you different than anybody else? We're supposed to be kind to people that are our enemies. Can you imagine? So the guy that cuts you off, no problem, and you just wave versus pushing that little button that's on your dashboard that makes the missile sounds where you pretend you can blow them up, right? Uh-huh. Don't lie. I try to squeeze it. I go from the 35 and squeeze in to go over to the 30 because you don't have a choice. It's like you wouldn't believe how many people. They are so – I'm not one of those people that rides on the end and comes in. I try and get in there right away. It's like people are so mad at me. Arr, arr, arr. That was a lot of kindness there. It's like, no. And I'm not your enemy. I'm just in another car. But anyway – I think the point is that there's a call to biblical maturity. As difficult as people can be, I had a nice meeting with Johnny today, and we talked about this one thing. Ephesians 6:12 just came up briefly, and that says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's not really just this person that you're fighting against. Oftentimes, it's got very little to do with people, much more to do with demonic forces. I mean, that's just a reality. But every person that you meet who doesn't have your title and sit in your camp or go to your church is not your enemy. And even if that person was your enemy, Jesus commands you to love them, to pray for them, and to be kind to them. You know what really – you know what be kind to them means? Get ready. Ready? Play nice. Play nice. And you think, well, I know, but, you know, they stand up for people I can't stand. Yeah, you probably did 20 years ago, too. I mean, that's just reality. In fact, let's be honest. My kids, what the music they listen to now compared to the music I listen to, I mean, I listen to totally cool music. They listen to totally awesomely terrible music that I want to make me makes me want to vomit. Here's the problem with that. The problem with that is that people think, oh, well, no, my music's cool. No, my music's cool. My music's cool. You see how that kind of changes with people? Now if I could just hear the music, I'm happy. See, that's completely changed. Be nice. You don't have to be mean about it. You can disagree with people. You can not agree with their position. You don't have to attack them. Okay? Like what I said about Juan Williams, I sent a letter to Juan Williams saying, I want to talk to you about this. I think it's inappropriate. I say it on the air, and we talk about it on the air, but I sent him a private letter saying, I think it's really important for you, if you're going to represent Jesus Christ and Christians, that you at least say something Jesus said. Can we talk about this? I'll give you free time. Because I want him to know where I'm coming from. I think that's a better approach. Then I make fun of it because it's a radio show. Entertainment, educational, and encouraging. That's the goal here. But we need to pray for, we need to love, and we need to be kind to our enemies. Why? Because Jesus said so. Okay. That's the end of that discussion. Yeah. That is the end of the discussion because Jesus said so. So, yeah, that's what we got to do. Okay. That's not too bad, huh? I'm going to have to do the embarrassing thing tomorrow. It's way too long of a story. I just can't. I'm not able to do it. So we'll close it out with this little riddle. Ready? What do we got, 2 minutes or a minute? Two? Eh, I got 2 minutes. All right. It's a riddle. I just want you to think about it, okay? All right. Thank you. That's so good. Julie, get into it. Get into it. What is black, brown, blue, maroon, white, and other colors, but should always be red? Ooh, you don't have time to call, so I'm going to tell you. The Bible. See? Because there's black ones, brown ones, blue ones, maroon ones, white ones, other colors, but it should always be red. Get it? Oh, that's so cute. Okay, that's enough. That's enough of the show. Okay, go do something creative and inspiring and do it in the Lord and with the Lord. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.